हरिः
ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay. And Sutra Shastra Drishtya Tupadesho Vamadeva Shastra Drishtya Tupadesho Vamadeva Deva Vat. Indra gives the teachings of identity from the point of view of scriptural insight, as is the case of Vamadeva. So then on 29. Only the Lord is the support of all sentient and insentient beings. Fourthly, the Upanishad also says about the prana. Sa esha prana eva pragyatmanando jaro mritya. Esha loka dipatir esha sarveshvara. Prana is the self of the jiva. It is bliss. It is without old age and without death. It is the Lord of all worlds and controller of everything. Right, so if the Upanishad is making this point that it's without death and all that, then what about Indra? Right? So Indra, because he's only there for a 14th of a day, right? It's not, you know, if we say, okay, yeah, half a day or up to breakfast or something. I mean, this guy doesn't even make it past the morning, you know, biscuits, you know, like that. It's so quick. So that's, you know, because 14 means the day from sunrise to sunset, you know, and then at night just everybody's asleep. So that means it's not a long time. You know, it's less than, basically it would be half a muhurta of Lord Brahma, right? Muhurta is 48 minutes to 24 minutes, and that's, he gets 24 minutes in a day of Brahma. Could you imagine every 24 minutes the whole administration of the universe changes? That would take some. So that means in Lord Brahma's lifetime, that's 500,000 changes. Right? And that's not even happening at night. No, it's all during the day. Yeah. So therefore, it can't mean the jiva. It has to mean the Supreme Lord. Right? So.
But this is crazy, man.
Which?
Every 24 minutes.
Yeah, but how long? That's for Brahma. So that's the whole point, is that he lives the longest. But then, you know, so it's kind of like, you know, how you say, you know, the whole problem with, you know, bicentennial man is, you know, willing to die, you know, and he's only gone through three generations, right? You know, so, you know, here it's like you're going through 14 in a day. You know, so then he also then sees, because that's what it means, that the residence of the, there's no material disturbance on Satyaloka. So the only disturbance they feel is because of just the turnover and life and everything on the lower planets. Right? And that, you're talking 14 times, that's Indra, and these are the guys that live a long time. So down here we're going, wow, those guys are Amara, right? Those are deathless, right? So it's just like, you know, I say the bugs around the bulb at night, we don't even count as that, you know. So it's just, we're just flash, you know. It's just, so that's what bothers them. Right, so there must be something to bother, but they're so pious that there's no material disturbance. It's just the mental anxiety of just, you know, just that compassion that everybody goes through this. Right, so that's why also then, it's not an uncommon thing for them to come down here to preach, right? Like that, you know. So the personified Vedas may come down here, preach, and stuff like that. So, yeah. The Lord is the principal being having bliss and other items mentioned as his nature. Therefore, because prana is described as having all these qualities, it actually means Brahman and nothing else. Right? So just Indra is just pointing out from, in other words, worship the me or the I here means the I of the I, right? Prana is the self of the jiva. The self of the jiva, that's who he's talking about. Means when he says I, he means what makes him Indra. You know, that's the main thing. Bhagavatam verse reference 5:19:26. In India, Bharatvarsha, there are many worshippers of the demigods, the various officials appointed by the Supreme Lord, such as Indra, Chandra, and Surya, all of whom are worshipped differently. The worshippers offer the demigods their oblations, considering the demigods part and parcel of the whole, the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts these offerings and gradually raises the worshippers to the real standard of devotional service by fulfilling their desires and aspirations. Because the Lord is complete, he offers the worshippers the benedictions they desire, even if they worship only part of his transcendental body. Right? So when they worship the demigods, understanding they're part and parcel of the Lord, and their position is because of that, but they want that material desire, the Lord accepts the offering. And then he fulfills the desire. That's why it says that the intelligent, they go to the Lord. But at the same time, is because of that, then slowly, slowly they give up that material attachment, give up that interest in worshiping the demigods, and then they begin exclusively worshiping the Lord with time. So, 27. The Supreme Personality of Godhead fulfills the material desires of a devotee who approaches him with such motives. But he does not bestow benedictions upon the devotee that will cause him to demand more benedictions again. However, the Lord willingly gives the devotee shelter at his own lotus feet, even though such a person does not aspire for it. And that shelter satisfies all his desires. So he's thinking he wants the material benefits, but instead of getting the material benefits, he gets the spiritual benefit, even though he didn't ask for it. And then because of that, he's satisfied and he doesn't want anything material. Right? So that's the position. Right? Yeah. Like that. So that's it. We'll get pure devotional service whether we're looking for it or not. If we're looking for it, it'll come a little quicker. And if we're not, it'll come anyway. Like that. That is the Supreme Personality's special mercy. Right, so that's his kindness. And especially with Lord Chaitanya, then really that compassion is there. We're not really interested necessarily in any... We want to solve our problems, right? We have an anxiety, there's money issues, intellectual issues, knowledge issues like this, and that he fulfills those, but at the same time then he gives pure devotional service. Yes?
So technically from the absolute platform, no one really ever goes away. You know, like we said, nobody leaves.
No. Well, I mean, on that greater general thing, no. Then because all living entities are connected. It's just that how long they'll not be connected. You know, so for the Lord, it's not that long of a time, but because of affection, then it's a long time. But for the living entities, it's an extremely long time because, you know, just the, you know, we're talking about us long. You know, what about, we were saying, the bug around the light bulb at night. You know, he's got 24 hours, you know. Then what about other things? Even shorter lifetimes, you know. So it's just, it's a huge amount of time. So from that, by tattva, there's no separation. And then from devotees going away, then Prabhupada, one time one devotee was saying, Prabhupada, so many devotees have left. And Prabhupada said, no, not very many devotees have left. No, but so many, you know, like that. He was trying to point out the hundreds of devotees. And says, no, not many have left. And when the devotee was kind of exasperated, you know, because Prabhupada didn't explain, then he says, only a few are eating meat. So he considers if you left Krishna consciousness and you became a meat eater, then you've left Krishna consciousness. But if not, then you're just kind of on, you know, holiday.
Temporary hiatus.
Yeah, but it's not a well-paying holiday. But, you know, then, that, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Why is meat eating the breaking point?
Because then it means your dealings with other living entities, then the enviousness is so much greater. Because envy and attachment is why we're here. So that means the envy has gone back to a very extreme state.
But But if somebody was a devotee and practiced for a while and then leaves and becomes a meat eater, does that mean he's gone forever? Or
No. It just means he's not part of, he's not thinking I'm part of the movement.
Okay.
See, any devotee that may not be, you know, now it's a different thing. But it's, no, it's the same, but it's slightly not as extreme. But before, if they were in the temples and they went outside, but they'd always be thinking of Prabhupada and the movement and chanting whether they do or not or this or that. They would never disconnect. But if they became meat eaters, then they would consider themselves not part of the movement anymore. But otherwise they would, though they're not really practicing. That would be the... Yeah. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. I read the wrong one. I was wondering where did Vamanadeva come from here? But it said Indra, so I thought I was supposed to read this other one. That was, if one says that the passage teaches about Indra, the reply is not so. In that section of the Upanishad, there are plenty of references to the Paramatma, right? And so then here was the references, the Paramatma. So it's not referring to Indra, the demigod. It's referring to Brahman, who is behind why Indra even has his power anyway. Okay.
That prototype. There's prototype.
Prototype, yes.
So it's referring to that?
No. It's referring to Brahman, because even the prototype, well, how do they have that potency? Then they're Shaktis of the Lord.
But they are not jivas, prototypes. Remember?
May or may not be jivas. That I can't say.
Primary creation is
that. Yeah, but they may be, because it's not that, not necessarily that they don't. That's not their pastime. They're associates of the Lord. Just like Prabhupada mentions that the pastimes that Arjuna has with Krishna here, that we hear about all the fighting and all that, only happens here.
Mm-hmm.
So that aspect of Arjuna that we know only happens in the Lord's pastimes within the Ekapada. Right. So what they do in the Tripada, that'll be something else. There's no fighting, there's no that. So all those things that Arjuna is famous for, his, you know, that chivalry, that fighting, that's the aspect. So there it'll be a different flavor. So in the same way as that, these associates, they may be jivas, they may be internal potency, but they're expansions of, you know, what will be from Vaikuntha, which will be expansions, then what, you know, they'll eventually be someone in Braj. Like that. So, yeah. Sutra 1130. Shastra drishtya tupadesho vama devavat. Okay. Okay. Shastra drishtya tupadesho vama devavat. Okay, now it makes sense. Indra gives the teachings of identity from the point of view of scriptural insight, as it is the case of Vamadeva. Sutra Prakashika. This sutra further explores the theme of oneness and difference. For Indra to say, worship me, knowing me to be Brahman, is actually perfectly correct according to the philosophy of Vedic literature. Vyasa explains why this is so, citing the precedent set by sages such as Vamadeva in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. In that instance, Vamadeva identified himself with the sun and moon, even while perfectly aware that he was an individual spirit soul, and not in fact the supreme Brahman. This oneness is factual, and personalities like Indra and Vamadeva make such statements to teach specific lessons to the conditioned souls, or out of ecstasy of God realization. Sri Govinda Bhashya. Start right with the Shamshaya.
Yeah.
It doesn't even bother me. I always got no. Okay. Shamshaya. If that is so, why does Indra speak about himself? Siddhanta, right? So again, we're seeing this aspect of the is how you interpret direct, right? So are we interpreting the direct as meaning that, according to how those from the transcendental platform are seeing things, right? So that doesn't mean the Mayavadis, right? Because impersonalists won't make this problem, right? Brahmavadis will not make this problem. Impersonalists, yes, but Brahmavadis will not make this as a problem. Because for them, everything's Brahman. So for them, Indra is Brahman anyway, because everything's Brahman. So the Mayavadis, because they say anything that you can define, describe, experience is illusion. Therefore, they're trying to say, as Indra's saying, worship me is all illusion. He's not talking about transcendence. You understand? So there's the difference. The Brahmavadi will be, of course, is what's the big deal. Right? But the Mayavadis, then they're the ones that are making this kind of a concept. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So then their interpretation is not according to the realized souls, because they're not actually realized. I mean, you can take it that Mayavadis never actually become realized. They may become very nicely situated in the mode of goodness, but you know, their position, they will never really get to pure goodness, because they're saying that the Lord is illusion. So who gives liberation? The Lord. So if the Lord is illusion, then what liberation can he give? So why should he? So he reciprocates as you surrender to him. So because he's illusion, then you'll stay in illusion, right? Brahmavadi will think everything's Brahman, so therefore the Lord will reciprocate. He'll come to the platform of Brahman realization, but he'll only get that far, unless he meets devotees, right? Does that make sense? So therefore, they are not associating with the interpretation of those who are liberated. So that means, by default, their interpretation has to be ordinary. So then it's only grammatical. They're only discussing words and grammar. That's all they're doing here. Nothing else. Yes?
I was just trying to understand understanding position and person.
Position and person.
So you have to relate to the person through the position, or you relate to the person irrespective of the position?
Depends upon what's your relationship with them. Because the two go together. But it's just a matter of what relationship do you have? Like we give the example of the high court judge. If you're a barrister, what's your relationship through that position? Then you know him as the individual. You know, it's like we had one, a nice devotee in Calcutta before. I don't know if he's even still around. He was high court judge here, and I think he got, not sure, he may have been elected to the Supreme Court in Delhi. But he was famous. He was known as the sleeping judge. Because while they would be speaking, it would look like he's falling asleep. You know, he'd just be there and nodding off. So a little, it throws you off your game. You know, it's like, you know, so what I'm saying. So in other words, you know, Gerji would not have been able to pull his stunts. Right? You know, no. So then that's that. So. But I think he was, you know, it's like Jayadwaita Maharaj. Yeah. He would also do the same thing. So then the person giving the class would then ask him what's the question, and he'd say. It's just he's hearing just the body's, you know, asleep. So he was known as a sleeping judge. So that's the personal aspect. But he doesn't know him as, you know, the father of his children or the husband of his wife, or, you know what I'm saying? So even though that aspect's there, the two go together. But the higher is the personal. But at least one should respect the position. That's how we learn. That's why the Vedic culture gives all those positions, so that we respect them. Then if we know the person, then it makes it so much easier.
Because we're seeing that a lot of the doubts are positional rather than personal.
Because what is their idea of position? Mm. That they're God. So if someone else is God, that's a problem. Right? If he's Jiva, then they're Jiva, so then, you know, they have equal chance. Right? But if, no, he's saying this, and he's Brahman, and so a person is talking about it, you can actually reference Brahman, means it's not all illusion. That means their philosophy is bogus, and they're not going to become God. And so that proposition is not very attractive to them. You understand? You have to understand is, unless it's transcendental, it is motivated. That's why then we're recommended to follow in the footsteps of the previous charge. What they say, we say. We try to think how they think. We don't make up our own, because if we do, we'll end up, you know, somewhere out in left field, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Siddhanta, the sutra answers, Shastra drishta tu padesho vamade vamate. Indra speaks in this way, identifying himself with Brahman, in accordance with the teachings of Vedic literature. He does this just as the sage Vamadeva also did. The word tu indicates refutation. It means but, right? So whenever somebody says, yeah, but, you know, that means it's shamshaya. Right? So, yeah. When Indra, who is a jiva, which is understood by descriptions in the Upanishad, gives instruction, upadeshaha, to worship himself as the Lord, it is done only from the viewpoint of scripture, shastra drishtya, and nothing else. Scripture teaches identity of the dependent function with its source. Thus it is said, these are not called voices, eyes, ears, or minds. They are called prana. Prana is all these things. Chandogya Upanishad 5.1.15. So we're giving an example here because you'll put the person with the senses. All those senses aren't senses on their own. Right? We say, okay, this is the voice, this is the seeing, this is the hearing, but actually it's just prana. It's different forms of prana. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's all it is. Because otherwise, why do they work? Why do they function? Right? In this statement, the senses are called prana because their functions are dependent upon prana. Similarly, wise Indra, desiring to teach his obedient student this knowledge, says, I am prana, to teach the student that Indra's functions depend on Brahman. Right? So that's the thing, you make the two go together. An example is given of Vamadeva, Vamadeva Vate. It is said in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, seeing this, the sage Vamadeva constantly repeated, I have become the moon and the sun. Vamadeva identifies himself as the moon and sun to indicate that Brahman is the cause of his functions, as well as the functions of the moon and the sun.
Who's this Vamadeva? This is not Vamadeva.
No, it seems to be a sage, so it's someone else. But it doesn't mean that. It depends on what it means. If you're talking about the verse Vamadeva is about Vamanadeva, who takes the three steps and everything like that. So I'm not sure if he's a separate, if it's about him or if it's a separate sage, but it's not necessarily an uncommon point that you more than one individual has a similar name.
Vama also refers to Shiva sometimes.
Shiva, oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, Bama Deva. Okay, the Deva of the Bama, okay. So does that mean Obama means not left? So he's presenting himself as a Democrat, but actually he's a Republican? Okay, I get it. Okay, I get it. Vamadeva identifies himself as the moon and sun to indicate that Brahman is the cause of his functions as well as the functions of the sun and the moon. Right? So he identifies with the sun and moon. His functions are functioning by sun and moon, right? Because in your body, the Ida and Pingala, everything works by that. So all the energies are off of the sun and the moon, right? And so then, but that's coming from the sun and moon. But those functions of the sun and moon, they're coming from Brahman. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Can you say that again? That scooter went by just as you were talking. There was a scooter when it went by, then you started talking, and the scooter was louder than your talking. So, and I'm not well versed in lip reading, so I did not get what you said.
You know how Indra uses indirect language with Pratardhan as well as Vamadev is using the same language. So is it a natural practice, normal practice for them to use this language?
He's saying that is the Vedic, it is bringing out the Vedic point that everything is Brahman. that's then what's going. So in that way, you can say it's actually direct. See, it's when we think I'm the body, and so then I see how the body connects. I can connect this aspect to Krishna. I can do this for Krishna, that for Krishna. We'll call that indirect service. Because it's based on the body, then it goes back to the Lord. What we see is that someone on the Paramahamsa level, like that, or these great realized personalities, then for them it's direct. Because for them, they see that the body, the ingredients that they're working with are all the Lord. And the senses, that's also prana, that's all the Lord, it's all Brahman. So therefore, the interaction to them is direct. Mm-hmm.
As it opened, you know, this particular sutra with the oneness, so is it speaking of the oneness quality, because Paramahamsa is on the soul level, they identify soul and therefore they identify with Brahman, you know, in that quality.
Yes, that's the whole idea, is that they're looking at the oneness aspect with the Lord, which is true, but at the same time there's a difference.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. So you're just seeing how the Lord is everything. And therefore, we're part of that everything, so that means we're also part of the Lord. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Identity with the Lord, because He pervades everything, is also found in the Smritis. The Devatas who have come before you are identical with you, the creator of the universe, since you pervade everything. Vishnu Purana 1.9.69. You are all pervading, and thus you are everything. Bhagavad Gita 10:40. So I guess that this verse, that the Vishnu Puran, that would be, you know, some aspect of the basis with Vishishta Dwait. You know, there's a Dwaita, but it's a special oneness. It's not just they're one and that's it, but it's special because of the relationship and all those kinds of things. Common people also speak of oneness when two entities are situated in the same place, are of the same opinion. For instance, one may say, the cows become one in the evening. Or, the quarreling kings became one in opinion. The oneness of Indra and Brahman is to be understood in this way. Right? Because the cows, then they all think, you know, because when you go out in the day, this one goes here, that one goes there, they're all over the place. But in the evening, then they become one, they all just come back.
Hmm.
Yes.
Can we say that if somebody worships Indra, with this understanding, then it would be actually worshipping Brahman.
Yes.
And him as a representative, and that would be a correct thing, but just not very high.
That's what the previous one was saying.
Okay.
So, in that case, means the previous example was given, the devotee comes with fruit of desire, karma, desire and karma. And then by worshipping Indra in that capacity, seeing his connection with the Lord and that he's representing the Lord, so that potency that he can give is coming from the Lord, then the Lord will accept that and he'll purify him and he'll bring him to the devotional platform. Right? So this case, what you mentioned now, is that they're seeing Indra in this case as Brahman, so they're interested in liberation. So it's the same thing, it's still a material desire, so then the Lord will accept that, fulfill the desire, but in such a way that one comes to devotional service. But it's not as high a position. Right? And so if this is not a higher position, then how high is the position where we actually identify with the body and then practice devotional service? So that will be... This is your bottom level of progressive, you know, that you could say it's actually progressive on the transcendental platform. You know, you'll actually get to bhakti. Right? Does that make sense? Where you have material desire, but you see that desire connected to the Lord, and therefore you follow the proper directions given to please the Lord, and then you get those material desires. So that's your lowest level of bhakti.
Sakam.
Yes, sakam. But when we identify, so that's practical, but when we identify with the body and the situation, and then say we're going to do devotional service, we can understand that's lower than that, because that's not even recommended. Because you start from, I'm not the body, I'm the soul. Right? Because as we pointed out, the body really couldn't care less. You know, so therefore, I'm doing my service, what makes the body function so it can do its service. Is that sense? Yeah. Bhagavatam verse reference. 4743. The Gandharva said, "Dear Lord, all the demigods, including Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Indra, along with Marichi and the other great sages, are only differentiated parts and parcels of your body. You are the supreme, almighty, great. The whole creation is just like a plaything for you. We always accept you as the supreme personality of Godhead, and we offer our respectful obeisances unto you." Oh, so this is when they're offering prayers to Prithu? Everybody came forward?
Yeah,
they all came. That's this there. Yeah. So they're seeing on this platform is how everything's the Lord, and that their position is part of the Lord. That's how they're benefiting. That's how everything's working. So it's just a higher... It doesn't change what you're doing. It just means you're seeing from a higher position of sight. Sutra 1131. It was a footnote. Oh, 18, yes. Srila Prabhupada comments. Here the Gandharvas acknowledge that although the demigods may represent themselves as the supreme, actually they are not supreme. Real supremacy belongs to Krishna. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam is the statement of Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna is the only supreme Lord. Worship of Krishna alone therefore includes worship of all the parts and parcels, just as watering the root of the tree also waters the branches, twigs, leaves, and flowers. Srimad Bhagavatam 4743 purport. So from this, they're seeing that they're the oneness with the Lord in that capacity, and that they're only able to do things because of that connection. But then what the difference comes up is that, as Prabhupada points out, therefore they're also pointing out how they're not the Lord. Right? The two go together. Because when you say oneness, there also is difference. They go together. Right? So they're pointing out is that they're part of the Lord, so all they can do is by the Lord's grace. So that means, since it's by the Lord's grace, they're not the Lord. So then the point comes is, therefore we don't have to worship them. By worshiping the Lord, we don't have to worship them. That's why I will say it's a lower position of devotional service if you're worshiping the demigods, because you don't need to. Right? Since if you worship the demigod directly, then you're foolish. That's just totally mundane. If you're worshiping the demigod as part and parcel of the Lord and through him, then you can get some material benefit, then you could do that directly with the Lord. You know, so it will be removed because of the devotional service. It'll just take a touch longer because there's attachment to the demigods. Right? Longer than if you directly approach the Lord. But it said if you just worship Krishna in devotion, all material desires are taken care of anyway. You don't have to worry about them. So we focus on the devotion and everything else will work. Right? Does that make sense? So that's what we're recommended, is pure devotional service. But if not, then the grades of mixed devotional service are pointed out. Yes? Okay. Sutra 1131. Jiva mukya prana lingan netichen na upasa trividya ashri tadvat ihatad yogat. Jiva, of the individual spirit soul. Mukhya, the primary. Prana, the living force. Lingat, the signs. Na, not. Iti, thus. Chait, if. Na, not. Upasya, worshipable. Taividyat, because of being there. Ashritatvat, because of taking shelter. Iha, here. Tat yogat, because of appropriateness. If one claims that jiva and prana should be worshipped and not just Brahman, because of indications in the text, the answer is no. Because when there should be three types of worship, because then there would be three types of worship. Because Brahman is described elsewhere as ajiva and prana. And because there are explicit indications to indicate Brahman. Sutra Prakashika. In this final sutra, the first pada, Vyas says that Indra's statement cannot be taken to mean that the individual soul and the supreme soul are both the life of all that lives. This is because life of the jiva depends on every way upon the supreme soul. Okay, so here is the last, grasping the last straw. Okay, if here prana is talking about Bhagavan or Brahman and not the jiva, but because it indicates that it's going through the jiva, so then that would mean the jiva, that oneness with the Lord, then he can also be worshipped. Right? So just that last, you know, okay, we lost on that account, but what about this?
You know? Forget worship.
Huh? Yeah, yeah, at least something. You know, it's like Indra and Urvasi. You know, that I say, he brings all the apsaras, and they're dancing in that from Narayan Rishi, and that, and nothing's happening. And then he just takes his hand and hits his thigh, and out of his thigh comes thousands of apsaras who are so much more attractive than any of the apsaras that Indra's brought, right? And these are the best in the universe. And so then he's shocked. You know, the apsaras are shocked, Indra's shocked. And then after having made his point, then all the apsaras start going back into his thigh. And he's just watching, wow. And then it realizes they're all going to disappear. And he wants one. So just as Urvasi is starting to put her foot into the Lord's thigh, then he says, wait, just one, give me one. So that's why she's called Urvasi, the one who's resident of the thigh. So like that. Then they're, wait, please, one, just a little something. They just want some worship, right?
Why didn't they mention which one here? As a reference.
No, but that's last, you know, when nothing else works, then you know.
It proves the point.
Yeah. It's like, you know, how you say, you have all the options for eating what you'd want to eat, and when nothing else works out, then you go and get out that, you know, the muffins that your grandmother sent. Well, there's a chukka bucka.
What's for?
Yeah, it's a chukka bucka.
Crazy. Yeah. Do they fly?
Yeah, they fly. They stay down at the water, so they're out there, but just they sometimes nest in here. But they sound like a... like a riot on a savanna. Just, you know, when they make the noise, it sounds
they're
like...
They're not vegetarians, according to what they said?
No, that's the chakoras.
No, because they sound so bad?
Oh, that I don't know. They're water birds.
As we said, whatever they eat, that's how they sound?
Yeah, probably. Probably they eat whatever moves. Chakoras, now they eat nice stuff. They eat the nectar from the moon, right? So, you know, not bad. But the chakravakas, yeah. But these are what are called wagtail birds. Okay. You know, in the scriptures, it always talks about the wagtail birds. Like that. These are wagtail. You don't see it, but they'll sit there, and then sometimes they'll do that with their tail. And,
What
are
they called?
Chakravakas? Chakravakas. Yeah, the underside is white, really round, smooth white.
And the top is black.
Yeah, like that. No, long. These are a smaller variety. In Vrindavan, you have a bigger variety. I think there's two kinds then. One's really, really tall. And then you have this kind, the medium ones. Okay, Sri Govindabhasya. Purva Paksha. Though there are many words indicating the qualities of Brahman in the passage, it is not possible to conclude that it indicates Brahman, since there are so many words indicating the jiva, right? So they're just going by words. They're not going by actually intent or the ultimate purpose and that. They're just holding on to the grammatical meaning. That's what we're saying. They're going by ordinary vision. It's not the vision of the sages. Though they're the most intellectual and scholarly of ordinary people. But still, they're on that platform. It is said, na vacham vijigyasita vaktaram vidya. Yeah, no, slow it up. It was sped up here last time, it slowed down. Yeah. Okay, do not try to understand words, try to know the speaker. Kaushitaki Upanishad is a Japanese Upanishad. 3A, yeah. Yeah, okay, yeah. Cow shiitake. Not just regular shiitake, this is cow shiitake. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so and the funny part is the thing they quote is actually defeats their point.
Yeah.
Because it says, try to know the speaker. Like that, it's not understand the words, but they're fighting over words.
Yeah.
But actually understand the speaker. Try to know the speaker. But what the speaker is saying that you know, actually who I am is actually coming from Brahman.
Mm-hmm.
But they're getting caught on the words, right?
That's on a point. That's similar to what Jiva Goswami does in Tattvasandarbha. The first argument in the Pramaya section is understanding the heart of Srila Vyasadeva and his realization of his darshan of the Lord. So before getting into an analysis of the Bhagavatam, it's understanding what actually prompted the speaker to speak the Bhagavatam.
Oh, so that's why so much is on those 56 chapters.
Yeah.
In the first canto? Means when Narad Muni comes and then explains that, you know, what you're saying is not fully, you know, people will misunderstand it, and then he has realization of the Lord. And then, okay, that's why he gets so much
in
that.
And then in the seventh chapter is the Atmarama verse. Which is why, you know, Shukadeva Goswami was taught this particular scripture.
Okay, because of the Atmarama. Okay. I guess that was what then got him to come out. And then there was some other verse, there was some nice thing about Krishna. That's what they got to get him to come back.
That was the Putana verse.
The Putana verse. Oh, okay.
Oh, but how Krishna can be so merciful.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so this is still with the Purva Paksha. Right? Here the speaker is clear, I killed the son of Tvashta. There are also statements describing prana as the life force in Jiva. As long as prana remains within it, the body is alive. Prana is the conscious self. Prana taking hold of the material body makes it rise up. Kaushitaki Upanishad 2.2.3. What is known as prana is pragya, and what is known as pragya is prana. The two live in the body, and together they leave. Kaushitaki Upanishad. These statements indicate that prana can mean the jiva and the life force, but ultimately the jiva, for the two are names of one object in its inactive and active state. Therefore, all three, Brahman, prana, and jiva, should be worshipped. Right. So they're just ignoring the higher understanding, right? Because otherwise, why you would do that? Why would you be given a higher understanding and then bring it down to a lower because of some particular motive? So then here they're not seeing that as long as the prana is there, means the prana is there, but the prana means the Lord. Right, Paramatma is there. So the jiva and the Paramatma leave the body together. When they come, then the body's alive. Because what makes the body get up? The jiva doesn't. The jiva's there, that's why the body will get up. But who's making it get up is the Lord. Like that. Because otherwise, you're laying in bed, you want to get out of bed, but you can't get out of bed. Right? So it's not us. Definitely.
We can blame it on
the Lord. He didn't get me out of bed this morning. Hey.
Can we say that those who think that Brahman, Prana, and Jiva are worshipable, and they don't want to become Brahman, do they have a chance?
They don't want to become Brahman.
I think they're ready to worship anybody, like Hindus.
Yeah, but then the problem is anybody's on their altar. Like Prabhupada mentioned, Hitler's also... He went to one guy, big businessman, and he had Hitler on his altar.
Wow.
And he asked, why is he there? And he says, oh, because of the war, I'm making so much money. So he's worshipping Hitler, you know. So everything goes well, and he makes plenty of money. So, no, because the point is that they're just karmis. So it's like, they don't mind Brahman is there, but that's just that element of the bhakti misra karma. They have some devotion towards Brahman, and so therefore then their karma goes well. But it's not that they're actually devotees. We won't count them as devotees.
This is not offensive as such. They just don't really care.
It's not offensive in the way that they're following the Vedic literatures, but the point is that they don't understand the position of the Lord and their position. That's a problem. So it's not offensive, it's just material.
So they would be higher than Mayavadis too. Because Mayavadis are offensive.
Means you could say on one level in ability to take up Krishna consciousness, yes. But as far as social position and level of consciousness, the Mayavadi is in a higher position because he's interested in moksha. But once coming to Krishna consciousness, then they don't have any problem with the Lord being a person. While the Mayavadis do. That's their big obstacle to get over, is how the personal aspect. Is that, yeah. Okay, Siddhanta, the sutra refutes this. Jiva mukya prana lingan neti chen na upasa trividya ashadhatvad ihatad yogad. If someone says the word prana also refers to the individual spirit soul and the primary living force in addition to referring to Brahman, then I reply that such an interpretation is not correct. If the word prana referred to all three, then all three would be worshipable. This view is not correct because neither logic nor the authority of Scripture support it. Right? Because then you're just saying it's all three there. But it's showing Brahman, so it's not showing the other. So it's not that Indra is worshipable from this statement. Right? It's Brahman is worshipable. Right? That's the... So logic doesn't, and then Scripture. We see is that the Scripture gives other points that how it's Brahman. If one claims that Jiva and Prana should also be worshipped, and not just Brahman, because of indications in the text, Jiva Mukya Prana Lingat, the answer is no. Why? Because then there would be three types of worship. It is not possible to accept that instructions in one statement, since that one statement would then represent many statements. The meaning is this, because of indications of Jiva and Prana, we are to apply the qualities of Brahman to these two. No. Because of indications of Jiva and Prana, are we to apply the qualities of Brahman to these two? Or should the three be treated separately? Or should we apply the characteristics of Jiva and Prana to Brahman? The first option was already refuted, for Jiva cannot have Brahman's qualities. The second option, which is...
Does Prana refer to Brahman?
Okay. Is spoiled by indicating three types of worship. The third option is accepted because elsewhere, Ashri Tattvat, also Brahman is described in terms of Jivan and Prana. So that means, or should we apply the characteristics of Jivan Brahman, Jivan Prana to Brahman? Right? So, in other words, it goes that way, not the other way. So the qualities that we see in Jiva and Prana, that's coming from Brahman. That's how it actually is. So we may attribute it due to lack of knowledge to Jiva and Brahman, but actually it's coming from, I mean Jiva and Prana, but it's coming from Brahman. Right? In other words, the Lord is the cause of all qualities that we see. And the characteristics and qualities of anything is coming from the Lord. Yes?
You could use the principle of showing the indirect to describe the direct.
Yes. So that's what illusion is when we think it's all about this world. When it's actually all about the Lord. That's why for the realized souls, they don't see a material world. They just see the Lord in everything. It's all the Lord. But because of the temporariness and this and that, but they see the Lord. So it's different. It doesn't have the ecstasy of the spiritual world. Remembering the Lord does, but the place itself is not conscious and therefore bringing out the transcendental position. Right? So that's why it's said, wherever you are, you're remembering the Lord, then you're in the spiritual realm. But then there's also the point that the place you're in is also reciprocating that. Does that make sense? So that's what's special about the Dham. Shamshaya. Okay, another doubt. Other texts may be interpreted in this way because of explicit indications in those particular cases. But what are the explicit indications for this kind of interpretation here? Uttara. There are explicit indications in this particular text also in the form of Pratardhana's question about the activity most beneficial for man. This appropriate indication, tad-yogat, allows the interpretation of jiva and prana as Brahman. Right? So then you're taking it up there, because what is the most beneficial for man? Right? And so they'll also have to agree that coming to the Brahman realization is the most beneficial. So why would they be fighting this point? Right? Unless there's something else. Right? So in other words, he's just distracted them from Buddhism. So actually what they're preaching is Buddhist philosophy. Otherwise, why would they go against their own philosophy?
What's
Uttara? Uttara means the reply. Means they've said, they've made their doubt, samsara, so here's the uttara. Like that. So generally it's just, there's only one thing and it's not going back and forth, so then you just have siddhanta. They've said this, here's the conclusion. But then it keeps going back and forth, so therefore samsara uttara, samsara uttara. And then at the end, and there will be siddhanta, no? Or that's... yeah, uttara. No, you just answered it. The same thing. Okay, then the next doubt. Etavasmin sharire vasata shahok kramate. Prana and pragya live together in the body and exist together. Can these be applied to Brahman? Uttara. No, actually this means that the Kriya Shakti and Jnana Shakti representing Brahman dwell together in the body and leave together. Kriya Shakti and Jnana Shakti. Does it say which one's which? So Pragya is Jnana.
Yes.
And Prana is Kriya. Okay, because Prana means the activities.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's how then down here, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains so many applications of Kriya and Jnana Shakti.
Yes.
Then, yeah, getting down to this. So the action of the living entity is the kriya, and the intellectual, the conscious of the things. Ours is the jnana shakti. So that acts upon the jiva. So then you get that. So now it's just a matter of whether they're functioning within whose icha is it, right? Whose icha is it? Is it yours or is it mine? Yes.
Regarding prajna, you know, it has been defined, we saw two terms, like one was consciousness and the other was intelligence, you know.
Yes, so but the point is when you're conscious, then you can be intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
So the two go together. So you can explain it either way.
Okay.
Just depends what you want to bring out.
Okay.
Right? Okay. That's why I'm saying jnana. Because jnana means you have to be aware. Shamshaya, words like prana and jiva denote substance. How can they indicate qualities? Uttara, that is not so. Though they are used as qualities, they also indicate the object, since there is non-difference of quality and object. So in other words, the object has qualities, and those qualities are manifest through an object. So again, that's where you get the primary and secondary. Right? And so then on the higher level, there is, because there's Brahman, it has all the qualities and all that. That is manifest through the individual situations in that where the jivas are involved. Right? And then on the level where the living entity is in that situation, there's qualities and there's object. Does that make sense? So that's why it's a principle, this primary and secondary. So it has the ultimate application where it means it's about the Lord, and then everything that is in support of fulfilling the Lord's desire. And then that brings it down to the next level. Right? So we're acting on with qualities with form. Same time as we have the understanding of qualities with form.
That's the qualities with form.
That's the qualities with form.
Oh, he's going fast.
Yeah. trying to catch up.
Big quality.
Yeah.
Big point.
Okay. So, when Indra says, I am prana and pragya, he praises the qualities of the two and the Lord indicated by the qualities of these two shaktis. Yo vai prana sa pragya. What is prana and pragya? This means that Brahman alone is indicated by the words Indra, prana and pragya. Shamshaya. This adhikarna, which explains identification of prana with Brahman, is unnecessary, since prana has already been shown to be Brahman in an earlier adhikarna. Right now they're trying to get rid of this because then they can go back and still have a little bit more chance. So.
There's a problem with your sutras. Literary fault.
Yeah. Utra. Yeah. Because, no, but if you take it back to an earlier argument, then you can possibly take it off in a different direction. But it's brought it to here where you're defeated, so then if you undermine a previous, then... Utra. That is not so. Previously, the doubt was only about the meaning of the word prana. Here, the doubt is about the proper object of meditation. Because in a section of the Upanishad related to bliss, there are words describing jiva and prana. The sadhaka might meditate on jiva or prana and not Brahman to attain bliss. To prevent this mistake, this adhikarna is given separately. Right? So the acharya is not repeating himself for that. He's actually bringing about a different point. Because before it was about the meaning, the definition of the word. Now it's about what's the object of that word. Right? Before it's just we're saying it's Brahman. Now we're meaning that Brahman is to be worshipped. Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah, so it's what's the goal? The goal is that worship of Brahman. Not just that it is Brahman. Right. Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:20:20. One should never lose sight.
20:20.
One should never lose sight of the actual goal of mental activities, but rather conquering the life, air, and senses and utilizing the intelligence. Strengthened by the mode of goodness, one should bring the mind under the control of the self. So you shouldn't actually be distracted by just the ordinary engagement of the senses, but the senses should be used to actually perceive the Lord. So that's why the point is that engaging the senses is never stopped. What stops is whether it's for sense gratification or for realizing the Lord. But the sense and the sense object interacting, that remains the same. Because what you're gaining from that, that's by your interpretation of that. So if the consciousness is interpreting according to the direction of the advanced personalities, then you'll see the Lord. Then the engagement of the senses is fine. So the idea is, no, if the sense is engaged, it's sense gratification, that's actually impersonalism. Right? But the sense is engaged, now how do you interpret that? Because then you have to decide, how am I going to think about this? And that bases on your identity. So if I'm the soul, I'm servant of Krishna, then you're going to see it one way. But if you think I'm this body, or some other identification, then you're going to interpret according to that. So therefore, if I'm a Westerner, then I'm going to interpret it according to how a Westerner would look at it. If I'm looking at, no, I'm the soul, then I'll look at it from that platform. If I look at, I'm a devotee, I'll look at it from that platform. So that's the whole point, is how you interpret it. Seeing it's not the problem. So the sense and the sense objects coming in contact, that you can't stop. But what you can stop is how we look at it, how we perceive it. Does that make sense? Yeah? So that's the whole crux of what we're trying to do. Devotional service means you change that vision. Self-realization, you see it properly in its position, but then what's the object? Right? So the definition is seen properly, that's self-realization. But what's the object, as being pointed out here? That is the Lord Himself. So then that worship moves forward. That's the difference between mukti and Brahma-bhuta. Brahma-bhuta means you understand the object, right? And mukti means it's just the existence of the object. You perceive that existence, you're absorbed in that existence, so therefore you exist in that state. But when you worship that object, then you come to that platform. So then there's interaction. Because you're doing service, then that's reciprocated. Understand? Yeah.
Maybe not related, but we see after the 10th canto, 11th canto is very technical again.
Yes. Well, so it'll be really easy after this stuff.
Sure. What's the reason? What's the reason?
Because now that one is convinced and one is committed to that, now how to see in my life and trying to apply always remembering the Lord and never forgetting Him, you know, in His pastimes with the devotees, what things get in the way, what are the obstacles, where's the weaknesses in my performance of devotional service.
Okay, so it's coming back, looking back at everything that was.
Yes, but now it's from that mature state. Because before is that you're just trying to get to that point where you accept that the Lord's pastimes are important. Now that you've done that, and that now these are further tools. In other words, these are tools for someone more advanced or more convinced. When you're convinced, then you can take advantage of these. But if you're not convinced, then you can't. Mm. Like, they'll be too technical.
But then 11th canto gets very technical again. So.
Well,
that's
what we mean, is that now that you've accepted,
okay.
Now that you are a believer, could say, now you can apply a more technical.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Does that make sense? So, go ahead.
Oh, no, you can finish. I had a question for the previous.
No, that was it.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to clarify this last doubt. So it seems that earlier prana and Brahman were established to be synonymous. And so the remaining doubt was, because they're interchangeable, prana, jiva, and Brahman, then I can worship either one and it doesn't make a difference.
Yes.
But now what's being established is that even though they may have equivalent meanings,
They're
not equivalent in terms of the hierarchy of worship.
Yes.
Is that it's not equivalent worship this to direct it all the way to Brahman.
Yes.
Brahman has to be worshipped directly.
Yes, yes. Yes, that would be very nicely summed up.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
So that's why he says that was their doubt, is that you don't need to bring this up, because if you're going to say that, if this is your point, that it's not that, you've already made that before, so you're wasting our time by bringing up another point, another adhikarana.
Yeah.
But he's saying no, because this establishes what you just said.
Yeah.
It establishes the object of worship.
Yeah.
Because we're saying that it's all can be seen in relationship to Brahman,
mm-hmm.
but the point is the object of worship is only Brahman, not mm-hmm. the jiva and prana.
Yeah.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that? Yeah. So then here, when they're taking jiva, then they're taking that as the consciousness of pragya.
Or
when they go into pragya and prana.
Yeah.
Because it's the soul who's conscious.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
The Mayavadis, and they only want to worship Brahman, why would they argue to worship three?
That was our point, is that it's not actually about worship of Brahman, it's worship of themselves. They're trying to say, I am Brahman, because that's more important than merging in Brahman. Because if it was about merging in Brahman, why are they talking? Because if it's all illusion, if talk is illusion, everything that we can perceive is illusion, interaction is illusion, we're all Brahman, why aren't they just wandering around and just absorbed in Brahman? They don't even talk to people because everything's Brahman. That's what Sukadev Goswami was doing. Right? But he was remembering the Lord. So, and then when there was an opportunity to speak, then he would. Because for him, speaking's not is real. But for the Mayavadis, it's not real. So why are they talking? So that means it's not actually about Brahman. It's about them becoming happy on the Brahman platform. That's the whole point. They're just interested in their own happiness. They didn't get it through karma, now they're going to get it through gyan, right? They want that unlimited, never-ending happiness. And since it failed them on the material platform, right? The senses, the sense object, relationships, money, economics, politics, it all failed to make them happy. Now they're going for, well, connect back to that source of that happiness. But it's still about them being happy. So that's the weakness of their point. Just like why, you know, the Buddhist is like putting out the candle, you know, then there's nothing. Why would they want to put it out? Because it's for their happiness. But they're idiots. Once it's out, how do you know that it's great being out? So once you merge in Brahman, you won't have the individual to know how great it is. Right?
Somebody else will tell me.
Somebody else, but he's not there to tell. So it's not a well pointed out, thought out philosophy. That's why there's a bewilderment. Though of philosophies, you could say it's the most developed. That's why when they study philosophy, generally in all the academic circles, then Shankara will be the top philosophy, because it's the most, you know, refined and intellectual of all the others. But it still is not enough, because they're materialists, and they'll take it. So within the ordinary, it's the best. So they just don't know, because otherwise, then they would know. There's another category. There's the Vaishnava, and then within that, pure devotional service is the best. So, yeah. Okay. Thus ends the first part of the first adhyaya of the Vedanta Sutra. Right. So now we've up to now, then we have established that. Okay. Then the Lord is. Do we have a thing of the? Well, that's part two. Part. Oh no, that's part two here.
You want me to get your?
Oh no, I was just going to say it's okay. So that. Then the point is that we're supposed to study. Oh no, this still goes on, right? Yeah. That human life begins with trying to inquire about what's supreme, because otherwise the animals don't worry about what's supreme; they just worry about what's to eat, right? So that makes the difference between the human and the animal, right? Within the animal, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, there's the one who's just interested in the senses, the engagement, in other words, the kriya aspect. Then there's those who see the qualities and all that. There's something higher. But what's its purpose? Just to engage the senses. So they're using a higher level of consciousness, but to do the same thing. So that's why I said sophisticated. Animals, so-called sophisticated, so-called intellectual, so-called scientists, because it appears in that form, because they put the thing on qualities, good qualities. We have to be nice. We have to be, you know, brothers. We have to all these things. They're putting on the qualities that are good, but they're using them for sense gratification instead of the qualities they're used for dharma, going higher. So at dharma, then you're practicing what should be done. But the natural question in that position is, then, who am I? What am I doing here? So that's why then it's called the Brahminical culture. Is that even though you're following Varnashram, that makes one human, but within Varnashram you want to know what's actually happening. In other words, if all these rules are here, laws are here, that's what makes it work or not work. Who sets the rules? You know, who am I that I have to follow these rules? Right? So that brings it to there. So then the next point is now where do we get the authority for this? How do we know how to approach the Supreme? Then Shastra Yonitvat, right? We approach the Shastra. Right? That's the third one. Janmadyasya Yataha, right, is the next one. So that Supreme is the source of everything. So what's Supreme, right? You know, means the, you know, that, how you say, Supreme, ice cream sundae, you know, that's got everything on it, you know. How you say, 20 balls of ice cream and half a kilo of nuts. No, that's not the one we're talking about. Close, but it's not the one we're talking about. You know, that's as high as you get in the mode of goodness, right? Yeah, so then it's that the authority for that then comes from Shastra.
Shastra
right? Yonitva. Shastra Yonitva. Then, Tattu Samanvayat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is that one?
Tattu Samanvayat. Actually, because all the words in the Vedas are actually for the purpose of realizing Brahman. The entire ultimate purpose of the scripture.
Scripture is to realize Brahman. So you should inquire about Brahman. Brahman is the source of everything. You can know Brahman through the scriptures, and the point all the scriptures are pointing to worship of this Supreme. Mm-hmm. Then Ikshatera na Shabdam. Mm-hmm. You know? Anyone?
Yeah, that has to do with the
It is about seeing you, each other seeing you, no shabdayat.
Yeah, I'll get the exact one.
That's a problem. No, the sutra, don't know that. Okay. Decided it would be quicker to just be quicker to go and get it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The absolute truth is noble and can be described in words.
Okay.
Oh, because they argue that it's beyond all expression; that it can't be expressed in words.
Okay. Do we have a thing where it's just all the sutras, or do we just go through?
No, there's no list of
sutras. No second list of sutras. Okay, Mangalacharan. Then Brahma Jigyasa. Then Janman Yasyataha, Shastra Yona Dvat. Okay, then Tattu Samanvayat. Okay, that the absolute truth is the only subject of Shastra. Then that brings us to. Brings us to Ikshatirna Shabdam. The absolute truth is noble and can be described in words. Otherwise, we'll say, as he's transcendental, he's beyond, he can't be described in words. But the point is, the potency in the words are coming from the Supreme. So if you're hearing from the authorities, then the words do carry the potency to describe the Supreme. But if you're not hearing from authorities, means those who are transcendental, then yes, the words cannot describe the Supreme. Then, Ikshatirna Shabdam, Gaonas Chen. Then, okay, then, what happened to it? Okay. Gaonas Chen Nat Mashabdat. If you argue that Brahman described by words, is Brahman covered by material gunas? The answer is no, because the text mentions the word Atma in relation to Brahman. So, then when it's talking about Brahman, because there's going to be the doubt that if you can describe it, it can't be transcendental. But no, as before, it can be transcendental, so it means Brahman and not the Jiva. Because that's now this starts the problem, is that anything describable has to be Jiva. And so then they'll go through various, hoops and back flips and somersaults and all that to establish that. Right? And so then from there, then it'll just go on.
And then the Mahabhyasa is 12, Brahman is full of bliss.
Then Anandamaya, yes, the Ananda is full of bliss. So that means all the happiness that we're getting is actually coming from Brahman. So that means whatever endeavor we want to make in karma and jnana, actually we're trying to get to that bliss. So then if we worship that Supreme, that bliss is available. And if we don't worship that Supreme, it's not available. Right? And then
the remaining three adhikaranas are describing different words, including the person in the sun and the eye, ether, prana, and then jyotis.
Yes, so that's what we've been working on now, the last.
Yeah. Because everything stems from the Lord according to the second sutra. He's the source of all the
universes. Okay, okay. So it goes
and
down.
All the words and all the content in those universes is necessarily...
Is extension of the Lord. Okay, that makes sense? Yeah. So then, now we've established that everything's about the Lord is what we should be absorbed in. Everything's about the Lord. And then, the final point that's made here, why this last adhikarana is unique, is that therefore that Supreme should be worshipped. So that then begins a point of devotional service. Right? Because that's what Vedanta Sutra is trying to establish, is in Vedanta is worship of the Supreme Lord, right? The living entity worships the Lord. That's what we're trying to get to. Right? Okay? Good?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanand.